Hi, good morning. This is Digital Dave, and this is Hot Start on EAA Radio.
Oh, sure. Leave me out.
Well, you were a little slow getting back here, so one of us has got to be ready.
Oh, I know. I'm just a little dry this morning. I was getting a cup of water.
How about that RV-14? That's a nice looking aircraft.
Actually, the one thing that I was looking at that was more significant as a C-17 goes over was the announcement that the House of Representatives passed the bill for pilots' rights, and all it needs is the President Obama's signature.
Well, let's hope they get it.
This is a big step because of all of the difficulties and everything experienced by one of the senator that introduced it, James Inhofe, not to mention the debacle with Bob Hoover.
Well, that's old news there, but yeah, hopefully it'll prevent that.
Well, it's old news, maybe.
We're going to get a kinder, gentler FAA, or at least one we can throttle back every now and then?
Well, what the bill does is it makes a lot of changes. For one thing, if you were to appeal to the NTSB, typically the judges that are on the NTSB side with the FAA. That's been proven more than once. And it also, one of the other changes I noticed is it gives the pilot who is accused of having problems, he has access to the evidence which wasn't available before, especially with emergency certificate revocations. If your ticket gets pulled on an emergency basis, the FAA would not let you look at the evidence, and now they will have to once this bill gets signed.
That's kind of an interesting process right there. It's like no due process.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, I'm glad they got that signed. Let's hope it goes all the way through.
It should. Hopefully President Obama will sign this bill and we as pilots can all breathe easier.
Well, I breathe pretty easy without it, but yeah. Probably make it better.
Yeah, but you haven't been violated
now,
yet.
We're not even going to go there.
I mean, with an airplane. Jeez.
Oh, my goodness. That's even worse.
That's it. No more coffee for you.
Yeah. Anyway, we are joined by a gentleman who's been very patiently waiting.
Yes, he's
Mr. Wayne Boggs.
Good
morning, sir.
Morning, gentlemen.
And you are an air boss and, does that say announcer? I can't read.
No. I'm. Believe me, you would not want me announcing.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. It sounds like you got a pretty good voice. You got to sound more intelligent than we do right now.
Not hardly, gentlemen. Not hardly.
Air boss. Now, most people have probably never heard of an air boss and have no clue what an air boss does.
Well, I can use in the air show arena is what we're talking about. Oshkosh is the world's greatest convention, of course. And the air show is, I don't want to say a small part of it. It's a large part of it, but it's a part of a thousand things that go on at Oshkosh. But in order to have an air show, there's a lot of moving parts that go into it. Ground operations, air operations, all types of logistics. But one individual that is very, very prominent in the air show is an individual that is termed an air boss. That individual generally choreographs the show, in other words, because safety is your pinnacle, but still in all, it is show business. And you're entertaining the crowd. So you choreograph the show and then you control the actual event. So you're talking directly to the pilots, making sure that they are aware and do what they're supposed to do and keeping them safe from other aircraft or anything that might go wrong that way.
How long have you been doing this?
I retired from the Federal Aviation Administration in 2004.
No.
Yeah, the kinder, gentler.
Yes, yes.
As you were talking about. I was in the air traffic arena, but when I worked at Chicago O'Hare back in the 80s, I got my start with the Chicago Air and Sea Show. I was the FAA's representative down, the air traffic FAA's representative down at the lakefront. And I was a pilot, became very, very interested in the air show business. So on the side, I started doing or getting into the air boss function of it. So it's been around 25 years. I'm the air boss for the Warbirds of America. When all the warbirds are flying out here, I'm the air boss for that. And then I stay up there and as one of the air bosses
for
the general show that comes on. I have an actual company, and this year I'm actually doing 26 shows across the nation.
Wow,
that's really
good
work.
Yeah,
but it's being retired. It's fun work now.
Yeah,
you know, it's It's really...
I don't know. I've done a number of air shows where I've seen the air boss jumping up and down and screaming because of... mostly because of people busting the wavered area.
That does happen, but yeah. Believe it or not, it's a lot of wasted energy jumping up and down and screaming because... unless you've got a cruise missile, you're not going to be able to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
Well, I would, you know, you could get one of the aerobatic guys to, like, fly some smoke rolls around and scare the crap out of the guy.
You could do that.
FAA probably wouldn't look kindly on that.
No.
You have an imposing presence, so I guess pilots tend to want to do what you tell them.
Well, you don't want to be the individual that is jumping up and down and screaming, but you want to... The big thing is that the pilots, the only thing you want those pilots to concentrate on when they go out there is what they do and what they do best. And that's perform their aerobatic routine or their flyby or whatever their practice routine may be. That's all you want them to think about. You don't want them to think about that, you know, if an airplane comes busting through this airspace, that, you know, they're going to put their life in danger. That the air boss is going to look after them. So you want to make a presence of you're authoritative, but you're not being a horse's patoot about it, so to speak.
Well, have you ever had a pilot fly in a show, and then when you saw him fly, you're like, oh my God, this guy's not safe, and you got to talk to him about it when he lands?
I have. It's few and far between. The people in this industry are some of the finest human beings on the planet. But occasionally you have to talk
straighten
to someone.
Straighten someone out.
Yes, and it's strictly a safety issue. And you're not only protecting the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that come to watch this thing, but you're also protecting them.
Have you done any shows overseas?
No, I have not. I do one in... Alaska, if you want to call that overseas.
Well, that still goes by the FAA rules. Yeah,
that's correct. No, sir. As far as I know what you're talking about there, their rules are a little bit different.
Yeah,
than
like
ours.
Crowd lines and stuff like that are totally different.
Exactly.
So, 26 shows, I was always beginning to think that with the economy and everything, air shows were starting to dwindle out.
Air shows, some have, there's no doubt. There's anywhere from, you know, 300, 350 air shows around the country a year. You know, and it generally starts March or April and then runs through October or the middle of November. But air shows are like car racing and stuff. It just is something that never really goes away. It can be small or it can be large, but people will always sort of come out to watch that.
Now, Oshkosh is obviously an extreme example of what you need to do because of the just sheer numbers of airplanes that we put up here.
The sheer numbers and the length. Generally, an air show, your normal air show is you have a rehearsal day on Friday and the event is Saturday, Sunday. This is Monday through Sunday. You know, yeah. I mean, you're running 7 days here. Each day does have a show. And, you've got the magnitudes of warbirds that you put in the air and the magnitudes of performers that perform here is quite different than there's larger air shows now that last longer than ours. Ours is only running about three and a half hours. But there are shows that run from 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon with a lot of activity.
You got to have more than one air boss for that. No. One guy would be wiped out doing that. It always marvels me when you have the four, especially on the Warbird weekend, you got so many different speed ranges of aircraft up there. You got the bombers just going along. You got the P-51 zooming in. And how you keep the separation and get everybody in front of the stage when they're supposed to be there without, you know, conflicting
That's
with other
what
aircraft.
What I do every morning, basically, is sit down with a couple other folks, and we actually choreograph each day. And it's all designed layered because of you're not only dealing with different aircraft types, but you're dealing a lot of times with different air pilot capabilities also. So taking all that into consideration, you initially design a no conflict show. Everything is either timed apart, laterally separated, or vertically separated. So as it comes through in front of show center, either time-wise, lateral-wise, or vertical-wise, that unless an emergency exists or somebody just totally loses it, it's, you know, everything is initially separated. But then that's what the AirBoss does. If you have an emergency or somebody has a problem, you're like an air traffic controller. You're not an air traffic controller, and that's very, very important, because you're not. But you have to think like one in a lot of ways. And, you know, you're thinking far ahead. If this happens, what am I going to do?
So, go ahead.
One of the many duties that you have to do is you have to do the pre-flight briefing. Now, what all is involved in that?
That is a good point. And that's the pre-flight briefing is required by the Federal Aviation Administration. In that, you go over the entire event from a roll call to weather to everything about how the show is laid out on the ground, where all the show lines that the aircraft fly, where they're located, corner markers, everything a pilot would need to know if they had never even, and a lot of them have never been to that particular airport. They just fly in, they have no clue, their layout or any, so that's very, very in-depth explained. You go over the show schedule, the timing schedule, whether their air starts or ground starts, all the stuff plays into it, where you're going to run the jet car, where the parachutes are going to land. Everything is very, very, all the emergency procedures. If an emergency happened, divert fields. Everything is covered into this briefing. It generally takes about 40 minutes, you know, if people don't have a lot of questions in that. But it's a very, very in-depth and very, very regimented briefing.
And then I guess the weather part of that is just as important as everything else.
Weather is extremely important. You have parameters that you can operate in. The FAA will allow you to go to a certain parameter, but you as a pilot, even a military pilot, the military pilots will have their own squadron parameters that may be higher than the parameter that you have set weather-wise. And you take into consideration the experience level of the actual individual that's, you know, going to be performing also. An air boss that's been around a long time has worked with all of these performers for years and years and years. And, you know, anything that they do, you know the top ones, the middle ones, and the not-so-middle ones. But you know exactly what they do. And a lot of times, you never fly their airplane. You can be a pilot, but you never fly their airplane. But you know their limitations, and you know what you know, their weather-wise, whether they should be involved in that or not.
So obviously you're keeping an eye on the weather, and you don't have a problem calling them back should the minimum drop.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not, you not only have the responsibility for the safety of the pilots, but you have the responsibility of making an intelligent decision to protect all of the patrons that are out here watching it. If you wait for the last minute to call off the air show and a thunderstorm hits 3 minutes later, you've got all of these people standing out here that possibly, I mean, they could hit by lightning, high winds, tents blow over on them and that. So it's not only protecting the performers, but it's making the decision for the producers of the show, say, hey, we need to shut this down now. We're going to get hit here in about 20 minutes. You know, and like in this place here, we're gleaming information from the tower, from the National Weather Service, from Flight Service and everything to keep a constant eye. And I'm sure you gentlemen, many years have been here, and you've seen stuff headed for us, and you're just fixing to make that decision, and then it splits and goes around us. But you have to be ready to call it in order for people to seek shelter and to protect the airplanes and the pilots.
Oh, very good. You have a booth on the field somewhere?
No, I don't have a booth because I work the shows.
Because you work.
Yes. But,
well, imagine that.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a whole lot of time to do that.
Yeah, right. It must be interesting at home, though, you know. You, cereal, get in there now. Okay, you orbit out there by the toaster.
Yeah. Jelly, hold on 2-4. Wait for the bread to pass.
But I have a very supportive wife that she takes care of all the logistics and lets me focus on what I do, and she takes care of everything else.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us, sir.
It's been a real pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.